places. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of just going to get a slice of cake. And the last time I was there, I was like, I probably shouldn't just do like a whole slice of cake. And I downsized to the cupcake. Mm. And I did Connor's thing. Have myself a cupcake sandwich.
Oh, it's the best.
You feel good about yourself, too, because you didn't get the birthday.
Yes, I had some discipline.
It's free at that point. It's like what they were just saying about the pizza rolls that are baked and not fried, therefore healthy.
More pizza rolls for everyone involved.
Why were you screaming about crack?
that feels racist.
That's what
one of the things I love to do on days where there isn't necessarily a road to go down mm-hmm. in what we do.
You just drive right in the wall. Right?
Sometimes you do that. Sometimes I wild out with the crew. And other times I like to do kind of podcasty sections of the show. So today my plan was that I was going to do a podcast section on what's actually happening to Khalil Mack on defense, like what are offenses doing, like not just, well, he's being doubled and triple teamed, yeah. idiot.
Or they're getting the ball out.
But what's happening to him? And specifically, one of the things that my guys over at NBC Sports Chicago were talking with me about were him getting cracked by tight ends, by wide receivers. And it's, you know, it's different than a chip. A crack is different than a chip. And what that does to a pass rusher. So I asked Alex about it on Friday. And I had it in my mind that I was going to do an episode of the podcast just specifically on that. But today felt like a day where there's a couple of gaps in the show where I could be like, hey, there's a place where we could talk about what crackbacks look like and how they affect pass rushers.
How they can be borderline illegal.
Yes.
And or unethical, considered in some ways, depending on how they're delivered, not professional.
Correct. So since Anthony was here and he teaches pass rushing, I figured I would ask him. So he came in, and of course, because it's Anthony, he gives you an extremely detailed answer to your one question. And I was like, okay, well, now at 1 o'clock, I know I've got that segmented out in my mind that we're going to be talking about crack. Because I want to say that in the Alex sound, he's like, man, the crack, man, it's something.
Like crack is whack.
Crack is whack. So that's why I was talking about crack with Anthony Herron. We were getting inside the game is what occasionally I like to talk about sexy baseball or sexy football. This is sexy football. Like
Lawrence, you remember you and I did a show in Oak Lawn at a place called Oliver's.
Yes.
Remember, like 159th, like wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we did a whole show.
In Tinley, right? Like Oak Forest.
Oak Forest, yeah, I think so. And we did that. Like, we decided, look, we're just going to set aside a show and try to whiteboard some stuff. And it was like...
The glossary.
Hard X's and O's. And people were calling in and we're saying, like, you don't be ashamed for people to ask, like, what does this mean? When you say this, what does it mean? And like, take a step back. It was really fun.
Yeah, I occasionally would every now and again on the nighttime show just offer that up where... And it's funny because it actually happened a couple days ago with Beat Reporter. Like, someone texted in and said... I hear you bring up beat reporter or beat reporters all the time. What the hell is a beat reporter? So, you know, we went through like a couple of exchanges and I was explaining, you know, kind of like a beat cop. And,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, I got it. But we use so much the beat.
Yeah.
Right. We use so much terminology that is second nature to us that sometimes it's good to every now and again just say, hey, if there's stuff that we say that you don't get, we can kind of explain it, like Tony. Yeah.
So, but that's why
my whole purpose on this show.
But that's why when
it, catch.
That was good hands.
Nice grab.
It always bothers me when coaches will say, "Oh, you don't know the game. You don't know. You use your strip. You don't know what you're talking about." So, when I was a beat reporter, I would ask. You know, I didn't know football all that well. I came from I knew basketball, I knew baseball because those are the sports in which I'd worked professionally. So, you know, once that would always make fun of me. All right, Burns, you don't know about football. So, you know what I did? When you had time with assistant coaches, like when you used to get time with assistant coaches, you ask. When you say, hey, Tony Wise, when you say over, and this is an over front, and this is an under front, he said, well, over means toward the tight end. under means away from the tight end. I'm like, oh, that's it?
We had that too. And let me just do the proper. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
You just so, learn little by little, and you just ask. And so coach is like, oh, sure. Here's the difference. Outside zone just means this. Inside zone just means this. Oh, it's all way easier than you think it is.
We played a soundbite from the Under Center podcast on my show because Forte was talking about under and over fronts, and he was talking about young players, and he told a story of how he was trying to figure out if one of the guys, one of the new guys in the room knew what he was doing. So he had him go up, and he said, draw me an over front. Draw me an under front. Huh. And he said that the player drew 12 players on offense, and he knew that that player
that's well, too many
was already in trouble.
Yeah,
he would it? Not tell
yeah,
us
he did.
Who
did. He told you.
I did not ask because I did not want. I have an idea. I threw a guess out there. I have an idea.
I got a thought,
but I think your thought's right. But it is. I do think it's important from time to time to kind of dig in a little bit and just say, well, these are some of the things that we're talking about and being careful with how much of the jargon we use. Let's see if Connor's got it right.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
no.
That's too easy.
An incoming
position room.
Oh,
that would have been too easy. That's
yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't think there would be points for a
while. For a while, he played that position.
Position room.
Okay.
Someone in the position room.
In the running back's room.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll refocus.
I mean, if you think of, well, we'll talk. We'll anyway, talk. But I do occasionally like doing that. I agree with you, Dan. That was a lot of fun. Like, because we like to do that. And what I hate is there's an assumption by players, coaches, GMs, that we think we know everything. And so when we ask a question, well, you already know that. No, I don't.
I want to know the
That's
answer
why
to it.
I'm asking the question about it. And I wish that there was a better understanding in that regard on how the two jobs kind of intersect. And once I know that when for me, once I got to that place with Lovey, it made things easier.
Sure, it also makes you more fair. And this is the one thing where I knew when I covered a basketball, when I knew I could see a breakdown in defense where it looked like somebody lost his guy, but it wasn't his guy. And it only looked bad because he came in to try to help somebody else because I knew what defense they were playing. And it took me a while to get there, and it's always changing a little bit in football where help me criticize the right person. You know, help me make sure that I'm being as fair as possible when I'm saying, and I know they don't want to say this guy made a mistake or this guy didn't, but you know, off the record, you could say, am I going to sound dumb if I say this or this? And someone would say, no, you're pretty much on it. That's pretty good there.
I've had players pull me aside and go, hey, I heard you yesterday. You were completely off base. Here's why. And I've had players pull me aside and go, you nailed it. Like, that's exactly what was happening, and that's what went on. And you learn more in those situations where you get it wrong,
that's
and
it.
Then someone can walk you through some of that stuff. And I had Sahadev on House of L, and he was talking about how the way that he covers baseball, and I think the way that he covers baseball is becoming more normal. But he said that he needed to learn the subjective stuff. That the objective stuff was easy for him. It was easy for him to go through the charts and all of that stuff. But learning how things interacted with each other and then adding that to his reporting, he says, makes him a better reporter.
Yeah, asking a guy when he comes out of the cage at batting practice how he felt about what he was doing.
Or what he was doing.
Why were you hitting those pitches there?
Right, because batting practices are completely like, it's not just... Occasionally, a guy would be like, I'm going into the cage and I'm just going yard. But most of the time, guys are working on stuff. Yeah.
Just know that when you ask Paul Konerko those questions, that's your next 45
just
minutes.
Say, give yourself an hour, right?
And Connor, I mean, you know, but I always found Paul Konerko to be one of the most fascinating people to talk to in our business because he would take the time to explain it to you.
Yep.
In great detail.
Yeah. Have him tell you the Jeff Kappinger story at some point.
Oh, when we don't. Okay,
no? Just have him tell you.
I'll tell.
Okay. I will tell you, one of the coolest things that happens too when you do stuff like that, there was a Bears pub, bad Bears outcome, and one of the assistant coaches was asked about a decision that was made. I don't remember specifically what it was, but this assistant stood there and he said, "That was my fault. That was my responsibility. I needed to have that taken care of." And I was on the air the next day doing a Bears report. And I mentioned that I said, even though he said that, I said, my interpretation of how that went down was he's clearly falling on the grenade. And I forgot if it was the coordinator or if it's Wanstead or whoever it was. I said, it was clearly not, based on how I know things work there, he is taking the pressure off of somebody else. And he's taking the blame for something that isn't his fault. That day at practice, later on that day, that coach pulled me aside and he said, "You did a really good job today."
Huh. That's nice.
And I said, "Thank you."
That's really nice.
That's one that I thought I had read right. And he was just he was pleased that one person recognized what he did.
And to me, and your experience is probably similar, Dan. I think we're simpatico in this regard. Basketball coaches are the best. They will tell you, this is what we were doing. They will take a cocktail napkin and they will write it out, or they will use whatever is in front of them to go, this guy was supposed to do this. He didn't. And because of that, this guy had to rotate over. That's why it all fell apart.
Always. And basketball coaches will always default to saying they suck and their team sucks instead of blowing smoke, instead of being like football coaches, positive, 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 or only thinking good things. Larry Bird, it was the middle of the playoffs, right? And the Pacers, the Bulls were fronting the post. And the Pacers had some big guys in. I mean, Rick Smith and big dudes. They're fronting the post with Rodman. And I said, "Larry, why don't you guys lob pass? The Bulls are daring you to lob pass when they're coming out trying to deny those bounce passes into the post." And he kind of sighs and he says, "Have you ever seen us try to lob pass?" And I said, "Well, no, not really." He said, "Well, I have, and we're terrible at it." And this is the middle of a playoff series. And the thing is, because there's no secrets. Pat Riley, he was great about that. He goes, "I don't have a defense that's going to work. When they run that, what do you want me to do? They're going to get this shot or they're going to get this shot. They might make this shot more. Some nights they make this. There's no good decision for me here. There's no good way to coach this against this team. What are you asking me to do?" You know, and it's just like real conversations that you're just having. There's six people standing outside his office. And again, that's a playoff series.
It's one of the things I really valued about Joe, having Joe Maddon on every week, because I could ask him intricate or simple baseball questions that he would give intricate answers to. Like the idea of framing, like thinking about framing as one of those cups that you get at the water cooler, attaching the small end to your chest, and then being able to move towards it and then catch the ball in the cup. Like, thinking of it that way, like, you now have what his perspective is, what he wants. What he wants is to have a catcher with soft hands that doesn't have to jerk the ball, because they found the way to get themselves in position so that it doesn't look like they're pulling it back from some place that they weren't supposed to be pulling it back from.
Watch Molina. I mean, watch how when a curveball is coming in, his body is in the position that's always perpendicular to the tunnel of the ball. So it always looks like it's coming right into the right spot, even if it's not.
Thanks for geeking out with me, fellas.
Always.
Anytime.
I appreciate that. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They are here every day from 9 until noon, and sometimes they hang out a little bit after when we talk about geeky reporter stuff. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Chicago Wolves. Join the Chicago Wolves in honoring veterans and active duty military during the Military Appreciation Weekend games on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. My man. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Tony, let's go.
I, sir, am on crack.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Guess what we all learned about college football this weekend?
Damn.
Dan Mullen is the head coach of the Florida Gators. A still picture initially, and then a video that kind of went on to better explain what was happening of Dan Mullen's wife kissing all of the players.
She's Dan Mullen's partner. Megan made it a point to make the players her priority, whether it be a hug or a kiss before game day, or making sure the players understand she cares for them during the week.
Nope, don't like that. Nope.
I don't like that. The visual of it is not great. It's a bad optic.
Like, did she watch The Blind Side one too many times and she wants to be Sandra Bullock? Or?
I mean, it does have that feel to it. You go look at the video yourself and tell me that it doesn't reach you at a creep factor level of 10.
Make me a bicycle clown!
I enjoyed that conversation yesterday because it was a little bit weird. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We ran a little over during transition, but that's okay because I thought the content was really good, and I was talking about some of the sexy football content that I'm going to have at 1 o'clock where we're going to talk about crackbacks and talk about what that does to Khalil Mack as a pass rusher, and I got some really good stuff coming up on that on the show. The crew, Tony Gill, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tony, has done it again, and White Chocolate. Rick Camp. We got you taken care of.
AKA Dan Mullen.
Wow. Rick Mullen. That's who we have out here. But we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Thursday, November 7th. We talked bad about the Bulls yesterday, and I am really impressed with what they did last night in Atlanta doing work against the Hawks.
Market him with a runner. Got it right into the grill of Alex Lynn to the cup. Nice job. It's nice to see Larry getting something going here early. I'd get him going next play down too.
Levine, the marketing, holding and looking right elbow. We have 14 on the clock to go up the foul line. Satoransky against Lynn. Running the baseline with the dribble jump pass. Up top, Porter. Porter with 7 on the clock. Left wing, marketing lines up a 3. Got it! Nothing but net. Lowry marketing with confidence. Drains a triple.
2 threes in a row for the Bulls. One by Porter, one by marketing. Give the Bulls a lead. 14-8.
Rebound Levine. 7 seconds left. Levine to Kobe White. Off to the right. Between the legs dribble. Left wing Archie Diacono. In the far corner, Satoransky for 3 at the buzzer. Yes! Big time! Onions Thomas Satoransky right down the pipe.
How about that pass by Ryan Archidiakono driving in, pulling Satoransky's man off him to stop him from going to the basket and get the ball back to him wide open.
Satoransky had 27 points. He played a great game. He was, 10 of 13 shooting, 7 rebounds, 8 assists for him. It's great. Jim Boylan said this about the win.
Today in our meeting, that we played 40 really good minutes last night, but that's not enough. And I'm really happy for our guys, and I'm proud of them. They played 48 minutes together. They fought. They responded. They were hurting from the way the game ended last night. But I think they held on to the things we did well. And I'm just really happy for them, proud of them. I've said all along this is a high-character group, and I thought they showed it tonight.
Thomas Satoransky talked about this and why he was able to go 27-7-8.
You know, I was thinking about it. I played a little better in the last 2 games, but I felt like I had to be more aggressive to open up more space and more opportunities for my teammates. And I think I did that today from the beginning. And I got a little going on in the beginning. And it just gave me more confidence. And I'm just happy that we got a win and I could help in that way.
I really enjoy Jason Benetti calling basketball. I'm biased. I love the kid. I think he's better at basketball and baseball, and I think he's great at baseball. So I'm glad that Jason gets an opportunity to call a Bulls game or two. Over to the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is talking about confidence in himself and his team.
What sort of ways have you grown outside of football that will help you kind of get through this on the field?
Yeah, just finding other ways to continue with that positive mindset. Just learning in different ways how to lead, coming up with the solutions, and just being positive every single day, and working a lot harder, doing things different than we've normally done them, and just trying to fix them and get back on track.
Along those lines of the struggles of the offense, what do you think has held you back from taking a step forward?
I'm sorry?
What do you think has held you back maybe from taking a step forward, building off last year, this season?
I think just as an offense, everyone's just got to do their job. I got to do my job, and all the other guys got to do their job too, and when we do that, then we could be a really good offense.
Not a great answer, but an answer nonetheless. So that is your rundown for Thursday, November 7th. I want to talk more about the Bears, and one of the guys I love talking Bears with is Dan Durkin. He's going to join me momentarily. We need to take a timeout. We'll do that next here on The Score.
As part of Built for Talk.